The Burt Show.
All right, so for those of you that are Lost fans, this next 5 minutes will be fantastic.
Right.
For those of you that aren't.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you may stay. I mean, like, if you're somebody that is either forced to see the finale on Sunday or is just curious, maybe some of these some of these people, you know, who have an ending, maybe it'll give you an idea of what the show might be about.
Producer Carl just instant messaged me and said, for us who have never seen Lost, is this a Survivor-type reality show?
Carl.
No idea. Zero idea. No, it's not.
Now, I think that you should probably go first since you're the diehard Lost fan in the room.
How do you explain what Lost is? It's a, five-season soap opera about people that were on a plane, got in a plane crash mm-hmm. on a very mysterious island.
Right.
And for the last couple of seasons, they've been trying to get the hell off this island.
Mm-hmm.
And just the most random sort of bizarre things happen on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now coming down to the point where some of those that crash, it appears as though they're working their way off the island, and that's really it.
So what's your prediction for the ending?
I really don't have one. I got to be honest. I would say that good is going to triumph over evil in this one. So I would say, if you're a Lost fan, I say Jacob is going to get killed pretty quickly here. Jack is staying on the island, and the smoke monster doesn't get off the island either.
Okay.
Smoke monster.
What
does the island represent? Like, do we know if it's purgatory or if it's...
Those are some theories that it is hell and that they find out that this is their hell. Again.
Oh, so they all died?
That could be one theory. So now if you're into Lost and you've been so
you don't
into
know
Lost...
You don't know what the island is yet.
You really don't know what the island is yet.
Oh, I want to get my
You know
friend's
that it
theory.
Can it can move through time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes back in time. Mm-hmm. Other times when you're on the island, it goes into the future. We mm-hmm. know that.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that there's a light in the middle of the island, and there are two guys on the island that are trying to protect that light, and they're mm-hmm. brothers, and it looks like they're trying to kill each other.
Is the fat castaway still fat? Because that was
he is.
Yeah.
That's
How
the one thing
happen?
About the show that does bug me.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's swimming all the time. He's hiking through that island.
What's that character's name again?
Hurley, right?
That's Hurley.
Hurley.
Yeah.
I was going to call him
where's
Farley.
Where's he getting his food?
I don't know.
I think he's eating the other castaways. Do you think there's any chance that he, ate the smoke monster?
No. 404-741-Q100. If you have a Lost theory, now is the time to document it. I love this because on Monday, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that go in the office and they're going to go, I knew that's the way it ended. No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying that you did. Now you can document it with us.
Right.
We will play it back on Monday and you can say, listen to Q100 at 9:15. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only one that was right. Hey, Casey, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, these are big-time bragging rights for you if you get this right. What is Lost all about? How is it going to end?
Okay, my husband and I have been watching it from the very beginning, and we think that Claire, Jack's sister, is going to get taken over by the smoke monster, and it'll be her and Jack at the end kind of, in the good and evil positions.
So you think they're going to replace the good and evil now with Jack and his sister? Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because my friend was trying to explain this to me and Katie one night. And basically, and I don't know if this is his theory or this is common knowledge with Lost, that the island pretty much is like the only thing keeping evil from the world or the world from ending.
Yes.
And that basically all this is about a fight about good and evil.
If the smoke monster gets off of the island, all we know is that it's going to be awful for the rest of the world.
Because the smoke monster sounds ridiculous. But basically the theme is that the island is almost like a cork in the bottle of evil.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how it was explained on the show.
Okay,
and
so that's common knowledge.
Yes.
Okay.
The smoke monster is really this character, Jacob's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He got thrown into the light, and rather than dying, he turned into smoke.
Okay.
That's so now he just floats around the island like as a puff of smoke.
Yeah, well, and he changes into other people's body forms also. Like he is in the form of John Locke right now, but he's really the smoke monster. Come on, man.
See, wow. All I'm saying
is John Locke dead.
All I'm saying is Dragon Con, honey. And yeah. I don't know how you want to mask it. You don't think you're a geek, but I'm telling you, storylines like this, total geek fest.
This makes Dragon Con look like the hippest event ever. All right, Trisha, we can document this for you. What is the ending of Lost?
Well, I think that they were all dead since the plane crash and that they are in the hell. And I think that all the flash forwards are the way that they would have wanted their lives. And I think that the tunnel of light is actually heaven. But evil people that go in there, of course, turn into smoke monsters or whatever because they're not allowed. And I think that that's the way to heaven and that they're all going to end up going through there.
That makes sense because the bad brother kills his mom, right? Mm-hmm. So he's bad now. So good brother kills bad brother by shoving him into that light. And him, rather than dying, turns into this eternal smoke thing. So what she's saying is that could be his hell.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I know it's tough.
Is there any chance that, like, they'll just cut back to the cockpit of the plane and the co-pilot, like, dozed off and had a terrible dream and just woke up for it and the plane lands fine?
I don't know how they can end this with Lost fans being happy.
With every single one.
It'll be like Sopranos. The lights just go out,
or
right?
Or Seinfeld back in the day. Also, remember how so many people were upset that they were all in jail together, right? Good morning, Betsy. You were on The Burt Show. Hi.
The only... to left on the island, that Jack's going to get everyone else off the island, and Jack and Locke are going to be having the same conversation that Jacob and the Man in Black did last year at the end of the season, saying we really want to kill each other, but the rules won't let us do it.
The only thing I missed there was Jack and who, Locke?
Yes, Jack and Fake Locker, you know, whoever you want to call them. They're going to be Smoke the only two left on the island. Everyone else is going to get off.
Okay, so your theory is that Jack really starts to now assume Jacob's role, and the fight continues.
Exactly, and that they want to kill each other, but the rules won't let them kill each other, just like how the rules wouldn't let Jacob and the Man in Black kill each other either.
These guys fell asleep 3 minutes ago. I am so excited by all of these theories because they all make sense.
Is that basically the balance of good and evil? That's why they can't kill each other? Is one represent good and one represent evil?
Yes, but we don't know why they can't kill each other yet, but her theory sounds really good.
Because my thing is it's balance. You can't have one without the other.
Whose rules are they?
What do you mean?
Like she says it's the rule. You can't kill each other. So, like, whose rules are they?
That we don't know yet. That we're going to find out on Sunday.
Well, why do you just
hope you find out?
We better find out.
Are they still doing stuff like running fake commercials and there's weird codes and crap?
Not so much of that anymore. But there are some, like, really, like, hardcore Lost geeks that slow down the words every week and... we'll TiVo it and slow it down and watch it in pause mode because there's all sorts of crap that sort of happens in the background sometimes.
Wow. You've never been sexier to me than you are right
now.
Oh, God.
It's a testament to the writers on the show because people are this invested and this into it, you know, after so many seasons.
Well, if you're invested in it this long, you have to sort of watch to the end. Even if it was season four, you're like, damn, I've just wasted 4 years of my life. I'm going to give it one more season to find out how it ends up. Mm-hmm. Hey, Megan, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey.
Hi, your theory.
I just wanted to say that Jacob, first of all, is already dead.
Right.
Duh.
That was very condescending.
He got stabbed. She's right there.
Exactly. But I, for some reason, I'm thinking Jack might even die. I don't want him to, but I think for some reason I'm having a feeling that he might die.
That who's going to die? Jack is going to die?
Jack, uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that your ending?
I don't want him to because I think him and Kate would make a great couple. But
so it ends with Jack dying, and what happens to Smoke Monster? Do you get off the island or not?
I think he's going to be on the island still.
He's still stuck there, okay.
Mm-hmm. I am surprised at how many women are calling up. Weighing in on this, because I thought it was all dudes.
No, it's all women.
All
man.
Women.
All right, Lisa, really quickly, your bragging rights, okay? If you get it right, how does Lost end?
I think that that everybody gets off the island, you know, that electric magnetism thing?
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to go back and they're going to go back in time and be able to save everybody. But they're going to get rid of the smoke monster that way, because they've got to kill him. And I think when they kill him, they're able to get off.
Okay.
So because, you know, all this back, they're going back and, like, all this forward, the new stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be able to, like, it's going to be like they never crashed.
They're kind of like two parallel worlds going on right now on the show. One is what's happening to them on the island, and the other world is what would happen to them if they weren't on the island. So, mm-hmm. and we're not exactly sure how to tie both in together yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just amused.
I do think it would be cool for it to end like it started, and whether it's, you know, whether they the plane doesn't crash or whether, you know, I don't know. But I always like stories like that where, I don't know, it kind of ends up back in the beginning. Somehow.
I think the only way off the island should be on a plane that's identical to the one that crashed, and you just have to have the sack to get on it.
You and I, Melissa, wouldn't even get back on.
Hell no.
I'll stay here.
I'll be like, all right, guess what? My new home.
I'm going to make love to the smoke monster for the rest of my
that's
life.
That's right. So I have to get another plane.
Let me just go ahead and announce these because we won't have time to get to all of them. Saphir says Desmond's going to replace Jacob. Ben will replace the smoke monster. Okay? That is documented, Saphir. Cindy says, once again, Jack and Locke are going to end up on the beach. Jack is good. Locke is bad.
Okay,
we heard that one already. You're registered. Eric, they're going to lose, and the black smoke gets let out. So everybody on the island dies, says Eric, and the evil thing gets off the island, which means we're not going to be doing the show Monday because we're all dead.
What?
It's not real life, Bert.
Oh, yeah. It's that parallel world thing. And Jill says they'll die in the island timeline and live in the alternative timeline. So that means they'll all
they're
be
home.
They're all home. They're connected in one way, shape, or form, but they're not on the island anymore.
Fascinating.
I'm exhausted.
Woo!
I'm just exhausted right now.
The Bert Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Renee is in a sticky, sticky, sticky situation.
I don't know if I'd use sticky. Yeah.
Yeah, poor choice of words.
Yeah, we'll try a different one.
He obviously wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Hey, Renee.
Hi.
Hey. Hi, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Okay, good.
Okay. Nobody can recognize your voice. What's going on?
Okay, basically, my best friend that I grew up with, like, she moved from Atlanta. We both grew up in Atlanta, but she moved a few years ago to a different city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the name of it because I don't want anyone that might know where to hear this.
Okay.
But it's like a really fun city, and she went there to work on her entertainment career.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished college in December, and so I decided to go and, you know, like move to the city, you know, kind of and move in with her. She's been there. She didn't go to college, so she's been there since I started college. And so I got, like, you know, like a typical, like, you know, I have like an office job, and she is in sales, so it's a little less typical, but you know, sometimes she can work from home, sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, go to the client's house, sometimes it's on the phone, and sometimes she goes to an office. But she's never that specific about what company it was. It wasn't that weird or anything. I mean, it's just kind of like, she seems more like kind of embarrassed that, like, she's been trying to work on her entertainment career and that like she's actually kind of doing this to supplement it still. So it wasn't like that weird that she didn't tell me, you know, all the details. But then one day, one of my neighbors, he made a comment to me about a bunch of visitors during the day to our apartment and asking, like, why they were coming there.
Okay.
And I was, like, obviously kind of confused, but I actually just figured it was a different apartment, you know, that he made a mistake. But then I wasn't feeling well, last week, and I took off Thursday and Friday from, from work.
Okay.
And so she got up and like, it was like totally normal. She, you know, everything, she went to work. And then like, you know, like a few hours later, this like guy comes to the door and he asks if Carly's there. And I'm like, no, like, you know, I'm not Carly. My roommate's not Carly. He's like, are you sure? Like, are you sure? Like, it kind of like, I don't want to be like paranoid, but it was like almost like it was like a code word or something. But he kept saying it. I was like, really? No, like you have the wrong apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally left. And then I found a hotel key, for a really like kind of fancy hotel that's only a block and a half from our apartment.
Okay.
Which all right.
really weirded me out because I thought, like, why would she have this? I mean, maybe she stayed at, you know, I don't know, maybe she, like, a guy she hooked up with or something. He gave her the key, I don't know. But I talked about this with some of my guy friends, and they were like, she's a total hooker. But, I like, first of all, you know, she's my best friend. I mean, we've been best friends since we were two. And I don't, like, I just have a hard time believing that she would do that. But at the same time, like, if she is doing that, I want to help her, but I can't just ask her, you know, if she's a hooker.
Wow.
But I think she'd be kind of offended.
Hmm. So you're wondering, you're
kind
asking,
of a little,
no. You're asking for advice on how to approach her with it?
Yeah, or how to, like, find out more information or how to approach her. Like, I don't feel like, I don't really know what I would even say. Like, hey, some guy came to the door and asked for the wrong name, and I, like, went through her stuff and found this hotel key. I mean, I wasn't going through her stuff, but I feel like that's what it's going to look like.
You know how we say on the show that it doesn't matter what we throw out there, that someone listening always has been in the same situation, no matter how random it is?
Uh-huh. No, no way.
Yeah. Amy says she's had the exact same situation.
Oh, no way.
Yes. Good morning, Amy. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, I was just calling because this exact thing happened to me.
You're
hard to believe, but it did. Back in 1994, when I was about 24 years old, I had a friend that I grew up with in Arizona, and she wanted me to move out there with her, and I didn't have anything going on. I lost my job at the time, and I moved out there to San Francisco with her. And I moved into her apartment, and she told me she, you know, was a cocktail waitress at this club, and she would come home with all this money, and I would find her, you know, wearing different wigs to work and whatnot, and I, you know, just kind of occurred to me that maybe she might be doing something else, and I later found out that's what she was doing. She was a call girl.
Wow.
See, I don't get how one guy randomly at the door and then just a random hotel key can lead up to being a prostitute. I don't know. I think the wigs and outfits and stuff like that would definitely give it away. But a random hotel key, I mean, that could have been from any...
From a block away, though?
But that could have been from any, like, party. Like, if you had a friend who was coming in from town, like, from, like, Kennesaw and wanted to party in Atlanta and just didn't want to take a cab all the way home, get a hotel room for the night, and you just go hang out. But
Or she has a roommate, I mean, and she want to go to a hotel. I mean,
yeah,
maybe I mean, she just likes... I mean, how are you convinced that she's taking money for having sex with guys? Well, let's say the guy that came
Melissa
to the door...
Melissa thinks she's just a whore.
No. I mean, I hate that word. But, I mean, like, let's say that a guy comes to the door and she just didn't give him her real name. Well, she wouldn't give him her home address either, though. I don't know. I'm just confused about...
the validity. Like, you don't.
Yes,
maybe,
that she's an actual prostitute.
Can't she, if Renee, if your gut is saying that she's a prostitute, but you really don't have all that many details, although you certainly have a couple of dots to put together, can't you say something to her like, I just want to let you know, blank and blank have started this rumor about you.
But it's not a rumor. Like, it's her presenting the facts, and they say it. That's unfair to do to the people who brought it up. Like, she, the only way to fairly do it without throwing anybody under the bus is to say, yeah, I was having a conversation about a couple weird coincidences, and that means they think you're a hooker.
And the more I think about it, she would not bring the guys to her house.
No.
Why not?
I really think that guy, I don't.
Why wouldn't she?
Because she's got a roommate, and two, it's her home, and I think that if you...
Where do you take your clients?
We'll have other listeners, you know, call up. But if you are a prostitute or a call girl, do you have them come to your place or do you go to theirs?
That's what I would think, that they would have their own separate hotel room, because watching Cops, I mean, it tells you everything. But, no,
Wendy's learned, she's learned on Cops.
You do it in a car, you do it in a random hotel room, but never bring the person back home, because that's like your protection.
But some escorts have like regular clients that they see on a regular basis.
Right.
But you still wouldn't see them in your own home, though, would you?
I don't know if they're in their house.
That would be pretty
dangerous.
I've only
heard of one situation where that was true.
Unless you're just like a rookie escort and you don't know any better. You're making your mistakes.
You're a rookie escort
with
a roommate, then you say, come over to my house, and I'm sure
you're making the same rookie mistakes all escorts make in the beginning. Hey, Jessica, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hey. I was just listening to this, and I really don't see how this is any of her business.
Well, roommate.
They're in the same house together.
I understand that, but I feel like if she's doing something, whatever it is she's doing, if she's not bringing them into the house.
It sounds like she is. It sounds like she is bringing them into the house.
But at the same time, I just don't think that this is this woman's making more of a deal out of it than it needs to be.
Jessica, if you had a roommate and you found a pound of cocaine in the closet that wasn't yours.
It's a huge difference from finding a hotel key.
No, I mean,
when the guy came to the door.
Well, prostitution is, that's illegal. So,
I understand that.
So you say it's none of her business.
I completely understand that. I just think that she should approach her and speak to her and tell her, you know, her concerns, but I don't think that she needs to be, you know, going at it this way and making it into, like, this huge thing and let's do an intervention and whatever. I think that's just not necessary.
That's over the top. Okay. Here is Jackie with a suggestion also. Hey, Jackie, we have Renee here, who really thinks that her roommate may be an escort or a prostitute. The evidence isn't real strong, but there's some circumstantial evidence for sure.
Here's a way to get great evidence. One word, nanny cam.
Ooh, you better be careful what you ask for, man.
Yeah. How well do you know your friend?
That's true. She could get the proof and then decide if she wants to have the conversation or just move out.
Wow.
Well, the only proof is if she sees payment happen. Having a guy over having sex with him is not going to be proof that she's a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I don't, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, my thing is, the only thing that I would approach with her is the guy that came to the door and just say, look, are you using a fake name with guys? And, you know, is this the guy really was coming to see you? And start that, maybe start off there.
Why don't you just have somebody call her and ask for Carly, see how she responds? Or why don't you just start watching iCarly all the time and see how uncomfortable it makes her?
Hey, Kimberly, good morning. Yeah. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
My comment is this. If this person has been friends with this girl for as many years as she says she's been friends with her, why, to me, if somebody's been friends that long, you're like,
that was me.
You just burp.
Yep,
that was me.
You should be able to talk to each other. You should be able to sit down and have a conversation with her and say, look, I think something's going on in your life. Let's talk about it.
Now, how good of friends are you guys? I mean, if you are claiming you're best friends, the conversation is going to be hard. I mean, as an outsider, it's always easy to give the advice, just have a talk with her. But the truth is, all of these are uncomfortable.
It's the first sentence, because usually my in is, I have to ask you something that's going to be really, this is uncomfortable for both of us. But even with that cushion, that first sentence is still a tough one to get out. Are you policeman? No. professional prostitute.
Joe here wants to be on the voice disguiser as well. Hey, Joe, good morning. You are on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning,
First of all, just to get right to it, where you're saying that they don't come. come to the house? Yes, they do. I'm actually a hobbyist. I participate at least twice a month in the whole thing where I go see a, you know, a call girl.
At her house?
Known. What's that? I'm sorry?
I said at her house?
Yeah, at her house. More than 50% of the ones, and I'm speaking of, from experience of over 25, more than half has been their home.
Okay.
And where the last caller said it's not her business, I thoroughly, thoroughly disagree, because even knowing that I partake, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous because you can get caught. And anybody in there will go to jail.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Is it possible that the escorts' homes that you go to are a second home?
No.
It's not.
No, absolutely not, because I'd say out of that half, maybe about a quarter or a third of them, I've gotten to know them very well, almost like friends. And no, it's their home.
I heard about this at the hair salon once. And I heard about a woman who lives here in Atlanta, and she's an agoraphobic, where she doesn't like to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an escort in her home, so that she doesn't ever have to leave. So they come to her, she gets paid there, and she has like everything delivered to her, her groceries, like everything she needs, because mm-hmm. she wants to leave her house as little as possible.
Really?
Crazy.
Hey, Joe.
And since I heard it at the hair salon, it's
gotta
true.
Gotta be true.
It's totally true.
Hey, Joe, I want to put you on hold because I think you're a separate conversation for another time that I'd like to get into. You know, I want to find out if like you're a married dude, why you're going and all that.
But Mr. 25.
At a different time.
What did you say at the beginning? You're a hobbyist?
That's what we call it. The term is called, because you don't walk around saying, oh, I'm somebody that goes and sees prostitutes. Okay. The terminology is called hobbying.
Hobbying. Okay.
How do you feel about that, Jen?
How do you know that I'm not running my own hobbyist brothel?
Hey, Joe, can I put you on hold and we'll get your phone number and we'll call you back and put you on the voice disguiser at another time?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting conversation in itself. Well, anyway.
I can't wait to go hobbying.
I think that you've got to, this is your house, so you've got to talk to her. I mean, if she is a prostitute and like he said, these guys are coming over to your house, you have every right in the world, uncomfortable or not, because not only danger because you might get arrested, but who knows what these kind of guys are that are coming into your home and knocking on your door in the middle of the day.
Totally. All right, Renee.
You can get you just ask her, or you can get you just like, kind of like, more.
Say again?
You think I should just ask her straight out, or should I just like snoop around more?
Let's go around the table here. Wendy.
Ask her straight up.
Ask her straight up.
Talk to her straight up.
Straight up.
Call her mother. No, ask her straight up.
I would throw out that word Carly a little bit and see what her reaction is.
I think I'd just ask straight up also. But if it was me, I wouldn't have the guts to do it. All right, Renee, let me put you on hold, okay? Are you planning on doing this conversation this weekend?
I mean, I guess, because, like, I'm worried about now, like, Monday, like, if the guys are going to come over or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll talk to you on Monday, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
You're on The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear. And it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
Yo, what up?
Hey. Miley Cyrus, what's going on?
I'm not just going on with you.
Oh, just hanging out, waiting for Miley Cyrus. You're actually early, which is a very unstar thing to do.
I'm up and at them. Always on it. That's me.
Do you find that there are some celebrities, I mean, since you've done music and movies, do you find that there are some celebrities that are like you, just very professional, right on time or early, and you know, hit their marks and do everything, and then there are some that are just notoriously late, or is that just kind of,
rare. I'm always late, and it's not just because of who I am. I just have no sense of time.
Really? Like, okay, so you are late. Okay.
No. I bought a watch and I've never set it, ever. And I've had it for 3 years. Never have I set it.
That's awesome.
So when I said gave it to me, I have a song on my last record that says, as soon as my album goes number one, Mr. Lin buy me a Rolex with 40 diamonds. And Mr. Lin is this guy at my record label. And so I made him buy me the watch, and I've never said it. And I've got that with, like, my first record. So, like, I'm never on time. And it's not just a star thing. It's just I hate time in general. This is very rare.
I would think that you have a group of people around you all the time that's sort of like you're
I do.
Yeah.
I make them late.
it's your fault.
They lie to me. They tell me different times. They tell me, like, oh, Miley, you're going to be on air at 6. So I am on the air at 7:30.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would assume you're just sort of like the NASCAR, and you've got this pit crew of people around you telling you where you got to go all day, when you got to be up, what you got to be doing.
Oh, they tell me. I just am not. I'm not on it. And my dad and my mom are the exact same way. So it's like I kind of get out of trouble with that, because my mom is usually the one making me double late, or my dad's making me double late. But I was always like that, even before. Like, I was on my show or anything. Like, to school, I was always in trouble because I was always late. I have no sense of time.
It's funny. Miley Cyrus hanging out with The Burt Show this morning. We need from you, we need some L.A. tips. Where are the places that we absolutely must go?
I'm, like, my main spot is West Hollywood. So I like, work out there. I like Millions of Milkshake there. It's really cool. There's, like, really cool restaurants that I really like that are just, like, fun. You've been to L.A. before, right?
Yeah, I'm from San Diego, but I have been... When I lived in San Diego, I was scared to go to L.A. because the town runs so fast to me.
I love it. I like it. Katsuya is, like, my favorite sushi. So I'm always in and out of, like, sushi places. I think L.A. has the best sushi, for sure.
Okay.
So I would definitely hit up sushi, but West Hollywood is kind of where I eat and I hang out most of the time.
Okay.
West Hollywood. Okay.
My best friend lives there.
In West Hollywood?
I'm always there.
Give us her address and we'll stop by and we'll knock on the door and we'll say hey.
It's my hairstylist. So if you go over there, you're going to come out with like a faux hawk and like...
Perfect.
Didn't you just like get into your own house in L.A.? Like you have your own pad now, right?
I haven't moved in and everything. I don't really have time to like really set it up. So I'm kind of waiting because I'm not going to just, like, put some designer in my house and be like, hi, make my house look like me, even though you just met me a week ago.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm a little bit of a control freak that way. So I'm waiting till I'm finished up this movie and this tour and all that so I can actually get in and do it. And I'm, like, everything I want to be a part of, down to the, you know, tiles and all that, I want to be my decision. So I'm waiting until I can do that.
So does it look like a bachelor pad right now with absolutely nothing in it?
Right now it's just, like, half of it's kind of down, half of it's like
that's funny.
Torn down, half of it's not. It's kind of weird, and it looks like a bad 70s movie when you walk in. It's awesome. All like exactly the way it was. And my brother Trace had to live there for a second while he was getting a new apartment. He was like, this stuff is scary. He's like, I hate it here. So we're tearing it down, and we're, you know, starting it kind of over, but some of it I want to leave because I personally like the 70s look I've got going on.
Well, you know, it's like standard stuff where before you move in, you got to have like a party in there and sort of trash all the old stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Well, the only thing I'm really, really tearing down, I'm tearing down the garage full out, and I'm building a little apartment for my grandma because I take care of her.
Precious.
I take care of my grandma, so I'm gonna let all my friends like have a party in there, and we're just all gonna get hammers and like beat it. It's going down anyways.
Right.
Sounds cathartic.
I know, right? Is this like in an exclusive part of L.A. or is this like a celebrity neighborhood? Or are you off by yourself?
No, it's where I've always lived. I act like I'm really a cool big shot, but I'm living like literally. My parents could probably like jump to my house, so like it's really not a big deal. Like they could get on our trampoline and jump over the fence and be in my house. So it's really like I kind of have a guest house, kind of my own house.
Miley Cyrus on The Burt Show.
So you've got to describe the nature of your relationship with Justin Bieber.
Oh, here
Hello.
We go. Here we go.
I am it is strictly friends. Trust me. It's strictly, strictly friends. I love my boyfriend so much. And like, yeah, no. But he's very cute. I totally get it.
He's like, you could put him in like your pocket.
I know. I have my travel size boyfriend, and I have my like all the time security boyfriend. It's perfect.
Seriously, like you could carry him around in your purse, like some celebrities carry around like a little poodle. Yeah. You could put Bieber.
Yeah,
you could,
that's... He's my on the go boyfriend, and then my bodyguard boyfriend is Liam. So I have
awesome.
When you're
both of them are gonna kill me right now.
When you're hanging out with Justin Bieber, I'm assuming he could learn a lot from you. I mean, you've been in the industry so long, and here's a dude that's just new to all this. When you guys sat down like last week and you had dinner, did you give him any advice?
No, we don't talk about like business and stuff. We talked about everything else, I think. But he's from Canada, which I lived there with my dad, so I think that's kind of cool. I like Canada a lot. He's a good natured guy. I like those guys there. So
we're going to talk about Can't Be Tamed here, and the release is June 22nd in just a couple of seconds. I've got I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, on any given day, you can go online and you could see like hurtful or unfair rumors about Miley Cyrus. And I think those are like, they're just words on a blog screen on the outside looking in. But as the celebrity, can you kind of humanize like what a day is like for you when something is hurtful is written? Like, do you take that personally? Does somebody call you
no.
in the morning?
No. If someone called me in the morning to wake me up, I'm a sleeper. That is for freaking sure. If someone called me to wake me up to tell me something bad that was on the dang computer, I would like freak out, because the biggest thing that I've learned from both John Travolta and Kelly Preston, who has played my mom and, you know, played Bolt with me in Bolt, they both sat me down and they go, if anyone in your life ever brings you a paper or an article or pulls up on a screen something bad about you, immediately tell them to get out of your home and never speak to them again. Mm-hmm. They're like, you never want someone in your life that will ever show you negative things. So people in interviews, when they're like, oh, so this came out today that you this and this, trying to make me look bad, they look stupid because I never know what they're talking about. Because I never have any idea, because like my parents don't let me see those things. I don't know what those things are. So it never is like relevant to me unless I'm going on some big talk show and someone goes, oh, by the way, this might be brought up. But if not, just, you know, just throw it out of your head. And that's the only time I ever need to know anything.
So this is really interesting to me. So how many times have you had to sort of stop friends and go, look, this is our new boundary. I don't want to know anything about it.
Oh, my friends know. My friends have never brought it up because they know how my parents are. And I think even if I didn't say, yo, this like friendship isn't cool because you're bringing negativity in my life, my mom and dad would. And people are like, you know, you can say, you know, well, she makes her own choices, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I do. But when it comes to, like, my parents' house and who they want in it, they're very strict about it. Because our house is the only little bit of privacy that we have.
Right.
You know, it's the only thing that people don't know every color of the wall and don't know what our house is like. They don't know that vibe. So this is, like, a sacred, sacred, serene place for us. And so the people that are in it have to be super dope and just have to be the best of people with the best heart.
So would you ever consider doing a reality TV show?
No. No cameras are allowed in our house.
Because I read somewhere that your dad and your brother might be working on one.
My dad and my brother, not for like our family or anything. My dad and my brother might be working on a show right now, but it's nothing to do with like our family and with our like private life. It's kind of weird.
There were some when the video came out, my wife was one of them, that have a tough time seeing you as anything but Hannah Montana. So this Can't Be Tamed comes out, and the video itself is beautiful. There are a couple of parts in there that people are going to freak out about. Did you know going into the video shoot that some Hannah Montana fans were going to reject this?
If you say Miley Cyrus, there's going to be some type of bad press or controversy that comes with it. It's just a part of where I am in my life right now. It's because no one ever wants to see somebody grow up. It's like when Hillary Duff started growing up off the Disney Channel. Everyone thought she was anorexic and she did this and this and this. It's just because she grows up. She doesn't look like a 12-year-old anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. And I'm not going to get up there and I'm not going to like do-de-do around when that is clearly not what my song is about. Mm-hmm. My song is clearly about breaking free and being out of a cage and being able to be truly who you are. And if you see Hannah Montana through that or mad because you don't, like, turn on Disney Channel. That's where my show is. My show is still on the air. I'm not done doing Hannah Montana. my music just isn't forever going to be Hannah Montana music, because that's not where I am in my life. I'm a lot more mature than I was at 13 because I've grown a lot through Hannah Montana in the past 5 years. But I just kind of stopped ever caring if people, I mean, you never want to lose a good fan, but if they're a true fan, they're going to stick by you no matter what, especially if you feel like you're expressing yourself. If you're a true fan, you're going to love the artist when they express themselves.
So if you weren't Hannah Montana and you weren't Miley Cyrus coming out with this new song and this new album, you would be a kid applying to colleges right now, right? Mm-hmm. So where would be like your top choice to apply to go to school?
My sister went to MVSU in Nashville, so I'd probably want to be there with like all my friends, but I'm not going to go to college right now. Like right now what I'm doing is like just my movies and all that. And my grandma, like everyone's like, well, you know, you can go back. And I am a firm believer that you can go back at any age you want, because my grandma went back to college at 62 years old.
Awesome.
So
that's awesome.
If I ever want to go back, I'll go back. And if I ever regret anything, because, you know, I'm graduating from high school, so I'll always have that luxury of being able to go back if I want. But for right now, I just really want to focus on my career. I've, you know, worked really hard to get to this point, and I just want to enjoy it while it lasts.
Are you now, like, looking for movie parts that will, I think for lack of a better word, sort of shock people into seeing you as a different person?
I don't do anything as shock value. People always think that, you know, even in a tame video, it's for shock value. It's not. It's just that it's not. It's written for someone my age. If you go to a high school, no one is, like, singing about, like, happiness and rainbows and butterflies all the time. It's just, like, not who I am anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's not a high school. I'm doing real high school parts, which includes real high school things. And if people look back, you know, at when they were in high school or when what high school nowadays is, it's like not exactly what you always see on the Disney Channel. And that's why the Disney Channel is so good for our younger fans, because it is escape from reality. But the movies that I'm choosing are a little bit more realistic of what high school is.
You seem to just have a great perspective on all this. I mean, I'm sure that comes from parents and rooting. Yep. You sound like you're 17, like you're going on 32 years old.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Hey, congratulations on the single. The single is out now, Can't Be Tamed. The album comes out on June 22nd. What do you want to tell to your fans and non-fans right now about that album?
You know, it's definitely something that really, you know, came from my heart, especially because I'm about to get so involved with movies. I didn't know when I was going to be able to make another record and if I was right away. So I really put like 120% into this record, because, you know, if it was going to be my last for a while, I really wanted people to know who I am and where I stand at the end of this, you know, crazy journey that I've been on for the past 5 years of my show and all the tours and everything. And now I'm going on to a new chapter. So I kind of just wanted to close that one. So I think it's definitely just like a closing chapter and something that it's just got so many songs on there that, you know, I've been, you know, going on in my head and what I've been feeling lately. So it's kind of like, you know, my own diary. I'm excited about that and hope people are digging Tamed, because it's definitely a song that, you know, I've, you know, really relate to. And I love that song because it's, you know, just straight from my heart, just like the rest of my record. So I hope people like it.
The single Can't Be Tamed out right now, and the album comes out on June 22nd. All right, Miley, thanks a lot for the time.
Bye.
This is The Burt Show.
This episode is brought to you by Vinted. Hey, it's Cassie, and this is your heads up that you're probably sitting on a fat stack of cash and you don't even realize it. Y'all, I took a look at my closet the other day, like truly looked at it, and I realized I probably don't wear half of it. It's just sitting there taking up space and guilt-tripping me every time I buy a new piece of clothing, reminding me that, oh, I'm running out of closet space and I have all these beautiful clothes I never ever wear, and it's become this weird pain point in my life. And then I found Vinted. Vinted is a secondhand app that makes it easy for everyday people like you and me to sell pre-loved fashion and earn some extra money. Vinted was the motivation I needed to clean out my closet, and I'm betting it's the same for you. So picture this. You use Vinted. Now you've got a less cluttered closet, a refreshed wardrobe with new pieces that you don't feel guilty about, and you made money. It's a win-win-win. And the extra nice part is that listing items on Vinted is quick and simple, and once an item sells, Vinted creates the prepaid shipping label for you. So if you're ready to clean out your closet and make some extra money, download the Vinted app for free and start listing. With no seller fees, you keep every dollar you earn, and for a limited time, you can enjoy free shipping in the U.S. on Vinted. Can't wait to see what y'all are selling.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, just a refresher course of Renee from Friday.
My best friend that I grew up with, she moved from Atlanta, and so I decided to go and, you know, like, and move in with her. One day, one of my neighbors made a comment to me about a bunch of visitors during the day to our apartment.
Okay.
I talked about this with some of my guy friends, and they were like, she's a total hooker. Like, if she is doing that, I want to help her, but I can't just ask her, you know, if she's a hooker.
Okay, so that was on Friday. Not a lot of strong connections, but she just had a hunch.
Yeah, and wasn't there a guy that showed up at the door one day randomly asking for, like, Carly?
Right.
And that's not her roommate's name, and so she thought maybe that was, like, her pseudo name when she was hooking.
Right.
That's the official term.
Hey, you want a hooker?
When she was tricking.
Hi, Carly.
And then we got the call from the one guy who said it was called hobbying.
Yeah. We are definitely going to talk to that guy again, for sure. So that was Renee, and she was going to go into the weekend, and she was going to talk to her roommate about the whole thing. So let's find out how it went. Hey, Renee, on the Voice Disguiser. Good morning.
Hello.
There you go.
There you go.
How are you today?
I'm good. I got really nervous this weekend with everything, but I think I found a solution. Hopefully.
Did you talk to her at all?
I tried to snoop around the apartment, but she never left, you know? I was kind of intending to do that, kind of try to find more stuff.
Okay.
But it just still wasn't an opportunity. So one of my guy friends took me, and we actually got one of those, like, little mini cameras that you guys, we had all talked about.
Like the spy cameras.
So it looks like a digital alarm, like sort of like a little, like, clock.
Okay.
And I'm going to just put it, like, in the living room where it faces the front door so that they can see who walks in.
Okay,
so I'm
but
hoping
if it's
that
just...
if I set that, you know, hopefully, like, you know, when I go home today, I'll be able to check that.
So what do you feel like is going to be proof for you if there's, like, a bunch of guys in and out all the time, or if there's... you know, more than one guy that comes over? Because I think Melissa was the one who said it when we talked to you on Friday. Like, really, you would have to see the money transaction in order to prove that she was actually an escort or a prostitute or whatever you call it. A hooker.
Yeah, I guess, like, I'm just a little more concerned with getting enough kind of evidence just to even ask her about it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, I'm just nervous, you know. Like, because not only is it weird that I live there, but she's also my best friend, you know?
Why
is it
kind
of more about
just ask her?
She's
your best friend.
Not, yeah, it's like I don't really want to ask her and embarrass her like that unless I have a little bit of a reason.
It just seems like so much extra effort when you can just ask one simple question, especially if she's your best friend.
Simple question that all of us have had to ask our best friends before. Are you a hooker?
No.
Remember we had to ask Melissa.
There's a different way you can
remember that
phrase
a couple
it,
years
though.
Ago?
That's right.
Right after she had her kidney transplant, she had this renewed view on life.
Surgeries can be expensive, Jeff.
Remember after she had her surgery, there were a lot of people coming over to her house.
Uh-huh. Stay for a couple hours and leave.
They were bringing gifts.
But I don't think I don't think with the kind of proof that she has, she can go directly to her best friend and say, are you a hooker? Like, I do think she needs more to ask her that. Like, I think she could go to her, like Wendy said, approach it maybe differently, ask her different questions about it. But I think if she's going to come straight out and ask that question, she needs a little bit more than just somebody came over looking for a Carly and one of my neighbors said there was a lot of guys in and out of here one day.
I still think you should throw the name Carly around the house and see if she gets uncomfortable.
Or just say that there's
proof.
But what about just ask her about the rumors that are around? I mean, a rumor would be enough for me to go tell my best friend, hey, there's a rumor out here about you. I just want to throw it out here.
But she's the origin of the rumor.
Like, well, no, it was a guy who told her roommate that this was
a
rumor.
Because of all the evidence that the girl stated.
But aren't we having the same conversation we had with her the first time?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, like there hasn't been much progress except for the spyware. Right. Samantha wants in on this. Good morning, Samantha. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Well, I think it's just wrong that she's like spying on her radio and everything. And like, I just think that's wrong and that she should like mind her own business.
He did get a couple of those last week also, saying it wasn't any of her business. But if it's true, what she's doing is illegal in their house and could be dangerous.
Right.
So it can't be ignored.
And if she's running her business out of her, we had a listener on Friday, if she's running her business out of their house, this
our listener, the roommate, is going to get arrested too.
Yeah, and we got to be sort of careful about the material this early right here. But this guy that called us on Friday late in the show said a lot of escorts and women in this industry will use their real homes for this kind of business. So it could be happening.
Right.
All right, so again, all she's going to have, if anything shows up, is a bunch of dudes coming over to the house.
It would certainly be more proof, though, if it was once an hour, somebody coming in and out of the front door. She could be like okay, what is going on here? And then, you know, and then she can press her further on what actually is happening.
All right, so not much really to update, except there's some spyware there's in there. So maybe we'll talk to her at the end of the week and find out exactly what's going on. Okay, cool.
Cool.
That's it.
It's the Burt Show.